It's good to see y'all. It's very good to see you. I'm very glad you're here. Edwin, I'm glad you made it back. Did you have a good trip? Wonderful. Yeah, good. Okay. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk about a kind of a, not what I chose, but what I feel like the Lord chose this morning. Probably most of us have read or heard of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the last book in the Bible that was recorded by the Apostle John. And we probably all heard that in the beginning of that, in chapters 2 and 3, there are letters to seven different churches. And probably the one that we've heard the most about is to the church of Laodicea, which was the last church that Jesus sent a letter to. And we probably are very familiar with what Jesus said to Laodicea. We probably can all say it. I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Everybody knows that, right? We've all heard that. Well, I'm not going to talk about that this morning. And you're like, phew. You know, in these letters, if you read these letters, Jesus had some pretty harsh things to say to some of the churches. Not because he's mean and evil, but because he is holy. And he loves his church. He loves his people. Do y'all realize that? Do you know how much Jesus loves you and loves his church, and how desperately he wants you to know him, and he wants good things for you? I mean, as we sang that song this morning, I will remain confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord. And that comes from that psalm where the psalmist says, I would have despaired if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I know most of you in here are probably like me, and you have been through some really, really difficult things that were not good. They were terrible. They were heartbreaking. They were heart-wrenching. And you were thinking, will I ever see the goodness of the Lord? But then you begin to grab hold of the Word of God that says, I believe that you are good, and I believe that you love me, and that you care for me, and that you are moving on my behalf. I am believing you, God. And so we begin to see that goodness because he's good. So I want you to know that before I say anything else this morning, that God is good, and he wants good things for his people, and he loves his people so very much. We can't even imagine. We have to pray and ask to be able to comprehend. That's what Paul prayed for in one of his letters, is that I pray that they would comprehend the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The love of Christ for his people surpasses knowledge. So when you read these things in the book of Revelation, you read what Jesus says to the church, know that behind all of that is this love that surpasses knowledge. And so also he's dead serious about the need for his people to walk in a manner that is worthy of our calling. He wants that desperately. So this week, as I began to pray, Jesus, what do you want me to say this morning? What do you want? What are you saying to Three Point Bible Church and to me personally? What are you saying? And so as I was praying that and asking Jesus that, I was just walking around my subdivision, and the first thing I heard was, wake up. Well, I don't like that. I'm going to pray again. And so, you know, throughout the week, I kept praying, Jesus, really, really now, what are you saying to Three Point Bible Church? Wake up. I asked him one time, Jesus, what are you saying to Three Point Bible Church? What do you want to say to Three Point Bible Church this week? Wake up, wake up, wake up. I mean, literally, that's what I heard in my head. And it was like, okay. You know, it was like, why are you questioning me about this, Sandra? Well, and because that's not what I wanted to say. I really wanted to preach on Ephesians 4:29, which is what we're doing on Wednesday night a little bit. I wanted to expand on that a little bit. And so Friday, when I came out to the church to work on my sermon, I put this section in Revelation up on my computer, just the scripture, and I'm sitting there reading it and praying about it and saying, okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to preach on, then you got to give me something because I got nothing. And I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to go with it. And so I put Ephesians 4:29 up there, and I thought, maybe I'll preach on this. Well, I didn't have anywhere to go with that. So I really became convinced that this is what Jesus wants to say to us this morning. So, you know, if it doesn't fit for you, I'm sorry. It's not really what I wanted to preach either, okay? So just know that. But in Revelation 3, we find Jesus saying these words to the church. He says, verses 1 and 2, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. So, when we read these letters to the churches in Revelation, we need to remember a few things. First of all, we need to remember that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Second, we need to remember that Jesus sees and knows everything the way that it really is. So he's never wrong. He's never mistaken. He never misjudges motives or hearts. If he says it, it's the truth. If Jesus says it, it's the truth, because he sees and he knows. And then thirdly, everything Jesus says to a church does not include everyone who is a part of that local body. As you read the letters in Revelation, you see that sometimes Jesus will say something and then he'll say, but there are a few of you. So everything that Jesus says to a church in Revelation doesn't include the whole body necessarily. So I just say that to just remind you, don't be offended by what is not meant for you. Okay, this morning, if I say something and it's not meant for you, don't be offended by it. If Jesus doesn't mean it for you, then don't. It's okay. Okay? So, Jesus says in chapter 3, the second part of verse 1, he says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. So, Jesus starts a letter by saying, I know your deeds. He knows everything that they do. I know your deeds. I know everything you do. Every single thing. And then he says, you have a reputation of being alive. What he's saying is other people think you're alive. That's your reputation. Other people think that you're alive because of what you do. But Jesus says, but you are dead. That's what Jesus said to the church of Sardis. In Revelation, he said, but you are dead. So my first point is, it only matters what Jesus knows. It only matters what Jesus knows. I'm not fooling Jesus. He knows everything I do and everything I don't do. I'm not fooling Jesus. Second, it doesn't matter what other people think about me. It doesn't matter what other people think I do, how spiritual other people think I am, how committed people think I am. It doesn't matter. It only matters what Jesus knows. And yet the temptation a lot of times is for us to still live for the praise of others, to encourage ourselves by the good things that other people say about us, to think that we're good because other people say we're good, or to think that we're doing a good job because other people think that. But here Jesus explicitly says, they think you're alive, but you're dead. Often instead of looking to Jesus and asking him what we're supposed to do, we look at each other and compare our lives to each other and say, well, I'm doing as good as they're doing. You know, this is how they live their life, and I like them. I think they're doing a good job, so I can live my life that way. And Jesus says, no, it only matters what I say, what I know. And I know what you do. I know what you're doing. It only matters what Jesus thinks about you and what you're doing. And the question for us is, are you alive or dead according to Jesus? Because just because we look alive, just because other people think we're alive, doesn't mean anything. It only matters what Jesus says. And what Jesus said to the church of Sardis in verse 2 in chapter 3, he says, wake up. Wake up. And like I said, that's the word that I kept hearing all week as I would pray about this. And I just kept thinking about that, praying about that. Because Jesus doesn't say they're sleeping. He says they're dead. So I'm going to assume this is said figuratively, because kind of like when Lazarus died in John 11, he literally died. Remember, if you remember the story. And Jesus said to his disciples, he says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. So what you see in Scripture is that sleep and death are sometimes used synonymously because they have a lot of similarities. And one of those is that when you're asleep, you are not conscious of what's going on around you. You aren't up doing anything. You aren't contributing to life in the world. You are basically in sleep, just serving yourself. Just serving yourself. So I would think that when Jesus tells a Christian church that it is dead, he means it is not sharing the life of Christ. That they're acting like they are spiritually dead, that there's no living water flowing out of them because they're only serving themselves. So point number two is that Jesus expects us to live wide awake as long as we have life. He expects us to live wide awake as long as we have life. He says, wake up. Wake up. So what does it mean to wake up for the Christian? Well, I've got five things that came to my mind. To live life wide awake instead of sleepwalking or dead, as Jesus said they were. It means, first of all, to live for Jesus instead of for yourself. And y'all aren't going to like this last little thing, even after retirement. Because I know we got a lot of older people in here. I'm included in that group there. And I think the world tells us that when you retire, it's your time to just ride off into the sunset and do whatever you want to. It's time for you to serve yourself. You have spent your life serving other people, working hard for a living, and now you're retired. And so what does the world say? Go have fun. And you know, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of that. But if we are believers in Jesus Christ, if heaven is our home, if we have eternal life, then that's not an option for us to just serve ourselves. Yeah, when we retire, we might have an opportunity to go travel more than you could when you were working, to go spend time with your grandkids, to do things like that that you didn't have the freedom. But it doesn't mean to say to the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm retired. So, see y'all. So it means to live for Jesus. What does Jesus know and what does Jesus want from you? A second thing, it means to be conscious of what's going on around you in this world, but also in the spiritual world. A lot of Christians, we are dead. We are asleep, and we are not aware of what is going on around us. And I hate to say this, some of us passed what's coming out of our TV and Netflix and all the garbage and the blasphemy that's coming out of that box that's sitting in our living room. That we are feeding ourselves. You know, we wonder why the Church of Jesus Christ is so sick today, is so weak today. We don't have the freedom in Christ that Jesus promised us in His Word, and we wonder why. Why? What is wrong, God? What is wrong? Well, I can tell you part of what's wrong, and that's we're feeding ourselves garbage. Garbage is going in our minds and our eyes and our ears constantly during the day and night. And I think Jesus is saying to His church, wake up and realize what is going on around you and stop it. Stop it. Because guys, you know, think about it. If you look at the average American diet, all of the junk food that the average American eats, and then look at the average American's health. And I know I'm probably stepping on some toes here, and I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Because we got to get a hold of this. It matters what we put in our bodies as far as our health is concerned, and it matters what we put in our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds as far as our spiritual health is concerned. And we can't be dead. We can't be asleep. Jesus says, wake up. He's not beating us over the head. He's just saying, please, for your sake, for my sake, for the sake of the world that I died for, will you please wake up and realize that there's a world out there that is in desperate need of people, my people, Jesus says, that know me, that love me, that are walking in freedom and victory, they need to see that. But if all we are doing is sitting in these four walls and serving ourselves, we don't have anything to give. And Jesus says, wake up. Wake up. A third thing He says is to remember that you are on a battleground, not a playground. Guys, the Bible tells us in several different places that we are soldiers. We are soldiers. You know, it's that little kid song, I'm in the army of, or however it goes, I was about to sing the wrong one. I'm in the army now. But there's a little kid song about being in the army. Huh? I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I know my kids used to have that on a video. But anyway, we're soldiers. And we're on a battlefield. And I don't want to be on the battlefield either. You know? I mean, some days, some weeks, some seasons of my life, I have sat down and said, nope, I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't want to be here. This is not fun. I'm not having fun. Surely this is not what life is about. But then Jesus comes along and He says, Sandra, get up. You are on a battlefield. You have got to fight whether you want to fight or not. If you're a soldier on a battlefield, you don't get to choose when the enemy comes against you. And the enemy is coming against us and we are just asleep. And that's what Wednesday nights is about, guys. If you're not coming on Wednesday night, I know some of you have a legitimate excuse not to be here. So I'm not talking to you. But if all you're doing is sitting in front of Netflix and letting garbage and blasphemy come into your head, then you're right where Satan wants you. We need to be here. We need to be serving. We need to be out there living the life of Christ, living the freedom of Christ, believing in His Word, taking Him at His Word, saying, my God is able, like we sang. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. It means to be contributing to the needs and the lives of others. Remember, when you're dead or you're asleep, you're just serving yourself. And sometimes we need to be served. God tells us we probably need to be sleep every night. 8 hours a night is good for you. You know, we need to be serving ourselves, serving our bodies, so that we can wake up in the morning and go serve somebody else. We need to be contributing to the needs in the lives of others. And we need to be engaged in the body of Christ. That's another reason that the church, that so many Christians are sick and weak, and they are not walking in victory. They don't have any joy. They don't have any peace. They don't have any righteousness because they have disengaged from the body of Christ. And I'm not dumping condemnation on them. I'm saying we all need to learn to tell the devil, get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because that is exactly where the devil wants every one of us, is isolated. Isolated against the body of Christ. Isolated against the brothers and sisters of Christ that we need to be with on a daily basis so that we can have encouragement to stand strong in this world that is trying to take us down. Guys, we got to wake up. We got to fight. We got to quit letting the world, the flesh, and the devil have a heyday with us. Jesus continues the letter saying, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God." Unfinished. And I'll just put it bluntly, guys. 3 point. Is about to die. If something doesn't happen in this congregation of people right here, 3 Point will no longer be a church in this building in the near future. Steve's going to come and share in just a few minutes about where we stand financially. And since the first time that he shared, because Paul and Donald and Carol all took a pay cut, we're surviving. But let me ask you this, because I know Paul and Donald and Carol won't. If your work gave you a pay cut, what would it do to your motivation? I'd go take a vacation. I'd go work part-time, wouldn't y'all? And I'm not talking to anybody specifically in here because I don't have a clue what your financial situation is or what you give. I am not talking to anybody. So don't hear that. I'm just saying that if we want 3 Point Bible Church to continue as a church and to be blessed by God, God's got to move. And we need to be calling on him day and night and asking him to do something. To do something. We got to wake up. So I encourage you today and this week to begin asking Jesus, do I have unfinished deeds in your sight? What do you want me to do? How do I need to wake up? Don't look at your neighbor or that person over there and say, you know what, I'm glad they were here this morning because they need to wake up. No, we need to each look at ourselves and say, Jesus, what unfinished deeds do I have? How do you want me to wake up? Where am I asleep? Where am I just serving myself? And how can I serve you? How can I live for you, Jesus? Am I dead, even though other people think I'm alive and I've comforted myself with that fact? Every letter to the church in Revelation, all 7 of them, end with these words, "Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." So let us be those people that have ears that can hear what he's saying to us and just get alone with him this week and say, Jesus, what are you saying to me? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you are faithful to us and that you rebuke us, you exhort us, you challenge us because you love us. And Lord, I believe that it's your will for Three Point Bible Church to continue to preach your word, to preach the truth in a very dark world that is lacking in truth, to be the light that the darkness cannot overcome. And so we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we ask you to move in power. And Lord, to stir our hearts, to stir our minds, to wake us up, to tell us, Lord, what we should do. And if it's just get on our knees and on our faces and implore heaven to rain down power, Lord, then let us do that. Lord, help us to be faithful. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for anything, Lord, that we have done or said that was not pleasing. And Lord, have mercy on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.